All right, as they're leaving, go ahead and take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in the Gospels, and turn to Luke chapter 6, if you will, this morning. Luke chapter 6, when you find your place there, go ahead and stand. We're going to read one verse as we look at this morning, something that got stuck in my head a couple weeks ago, and just something that I've been looking at and of course, kind of comes on the heels of everything else we've been talking about, and the Lord works all that out when we talk about offerings and things like that, but it's just amazing how God can put things together. Luke chapter 6, you find your place, look at verse 38. We'll read that verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. Shall man give unto your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to be here again today. Thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for showing us and teaching us. And today I pray that, again, you would help me to share the things that you've laid on my heart, that they're the things that you want us to understand. And Father, that we might be able to apply in our lives. And I know most people in this room are already doing that. And I just pray you continue to confirm and encourage him in that. Well, thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus is teaching here to the multitude of people. Again, Sermon on the Mount is where this is kind of at. He's speaking about the Beatitudes. He's sharing what the characteristics of following Jesus is all about. And as he does, he comes to this in Luke chapter 6 and he says, give. And it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That word give in the Greek, it's a verb, and a verb is an action word. So to give is an action. And we all understand that because you can't give without doing something. Something has to be done to do that. And so as we think about that, the giving is in relation to many things. It's not just one thing. It's not just money, although that's mostly our focus sometimes when we talk about this. But it's also about everything in our lives. As a Christian, as someone who is born again, has trusted Christ as their Savior, the first thing you give is your life. And when you give your life, you give everything that's associated with that. And so as we think about that, as we sung in our song this morning, that includes our time, the talents that we have, and the treasure, which we would think is the money, but it's also other things as well. And so this morning, as we look at this verse and we go off from here, we are going to preach a message, and the message is entitled, Giving is a Blessing. Giving is a Blessing. Sometimes it's hard to imagine or think because we live in a world of takers. Not everybody's a taker. We have good people saved and lost who give. There's no doubt about it. But it seems more and more as we continue down the road, there seems to be more people wanting to take than give. You think of the inequality we talk about and hear so much about in our country today. A lot of that has to do with those who, and they do give, they could give more probably, but if that was laid on their heart, if they were Christians, maybe they would do more or give more. I don't know, but that's what the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to do, is be givers. So as we think about this, I want you to look at this passage for just a moment. We'll go off from here, but he describes this gift or giving as good measure, okay? That's the way he describes this. Give and it shall be given unto you. You see a semicolon there. It says, good measure. So he's going to be describing what really a good measure is. If you look at this, good, that word just means worthy or valuable. To measure is the Greek word metron. It's where we get the word meter from today. That word measure is where we get meter. And so it's a quantity. So what he's talking about is he's talking about a valuable amount, if you will, or a great amount or a good amount. Is what he's saying. So what is a good amount? He describes it here for us, and maybe he's talking about the farmer with the grain or something like that. But he talks about this, and he starts off, and he says, press down, he says. You can imagine that. I remember years ago when I was in the service, I had a duffel bag. Anybody know what a duffel bag is? It was about that big, and it weighed a ton. I had a strap on it. I put everything I could in there. And the way I did that, obviously, was similar to this, maybe not in this specific order, or specific order, but he says here, press down. And that is talking about packing, okay? You're packing it good. He says, shaken together. That is to agitate or rock back and forth. Its purpose is to make room for more. Think about it, is it a basket or my duffel bag? It's to make room for more. And maybe you have to press down again after that. Probably will. But then it's to, so you're shaking it to the bottom. And then it says running over. That's what good measure is, running over. Think about grain, and you put it in a basket, and you just stuffed it in there, and you got it all in there. Grain's probably not the best example, because I don't think you have to stuff grain in a basket. Maybe leaves. You ever worked with leaves? Sometimes you have to stuff those in the bag. You know how they want to get out? Well, that's kind of the idea. It's running over. Like my duffel bag, when I stuffed it, I pressed it down, I shook it, I got it in there, and I kept packing and kept packing. And when I had to close it, you had to pull these three rings or four rings, I think it was, together over this other thing. And that was very hard to get all my stuff in there. A lot of times you have to leave something behind because it's running over or you can't get any more in there. So it would be running over. That's the idea of good measure. That's what he's talking about giving, is this good measure, okay? And he says, give and it shall be given unto you. And as I think about that, that's amazing to me that if I'm willing to be obedient to Christ, and that's what it is, as the Lord lays on your heart to be a giver, and that's what we should, that's time, talents, and treasures, then we should respond to the Lord. And when we do, look what he says in the next part of that verse. He says, shall men give unto your bosom? Now, think about that. He's saying, if you will be willing to give good measure, and we want to give good measure, when you are willing to do that and you surrender to God, the Lord says that somebody else is going to give to you. They're going to return that favor. It may not be the same person. It can be somebody else. But God is going to provide and meet his needs, and he's going to do it through people. I'm still waiting for God to send the check down from heaven and say, here's your check. It's not going to happen, okay? He does that through people. Okay, and that's how he uses us. As Christians, he wants us to be available. So when he speaks to our heart and he says, I want you to give, then we're willing to give. And we're going to look at that this morning a little bit. So here he's talking about using people. We know this is a proven principle. God uses people to help people. And it's we've all seen it. We've all seen it in our lives. He uses the saved and the lost alike. Do you remember when Israel left Egypt? Where did they get all their stuff from? The lost. The spoiled Egyptians. They took all their gold and stuff with them. Okay? So we've experienced that in our lives. I remember years ago when I went to my boss and told my boss I was quitting work and I'm leaving. And he said, why? I said, I'm going to Bible college. He said, you're going to need a job. I said, yeah, but I know you're not going to let me work here because I got to work in the daytime and school's in the daytime. And he told me, tell me what your schedule is going to be. And I did. And he sent me a note. You've heard this many times. He sent me a note back saying, go for it. He allowed me to go to school during the day and still keep my job, which was a very good job at the time, keep that job and work variable hours to make up my time. And God was using a lost man to do that. What did I do? I gave myself to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm following you. And God took this man, and he says, okay, I'm going to help you. He uses people to help us. So it's not always financial, although that was a financial help because I kept my job, which was a good job, right? And that's what God wants to do for all of us. He wants us to look to him, to trust him, and to follow him. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 and 33, he says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And he's talking about those things that are basic needs in a person's life, okay? The clothes we wear, the food we eat. He says, they seek these things. He says here, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And then he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we go to God first, God will supply and take care of our needs. He promises to do that. He wants us to look to him and trust him. You know, we need to be careful too, though, and I'm guilty of this, some of you are, and I've really been thinking about this a lot lately, because how easy it is for someone to offer me a gift, and I say, no, I don't really need that. Or, no, you take care of that, you need that. And the Lord has been teaching me and trying to help me to understand that I don't know everything, and if I'm really willing to trust God and believe that God's going to provide for my needs, when that gift is offered, maybe I don't have a need that particular moment. Although if I'm wise and do my math, probably do. But maybe I don't. Okay? And so if I don't, what is God telling me there? Well, you don't need this? No, he's telling me there's a future ahead, folks. If God lays it on somebody's heart to do something, accept what God is doing. Accept what God is doing in your life. Don't let pride get in the way. Why? What does pride do? Number one, it robs you of a blessing, and it robs the person who has been called of God to give a blessing. Think about that. How many times have I done that? Many times. And so we need to be careful that we're not doing that, because right here in this passage, it clearly tells us that if we're willing to be givers and we're willing to give, then God is going to supply for us this valuable amount or this great amount as well, as much as we are willing to give. In fact, look at the rest of that verse. It says, "For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." He's going to give you pretty much at least what you have given. So when we give at the Lord's direction, we're not losing anything. Now, it may not be the same thing we give. It might not be money. It could be groceries. It could be something else down the line. Maybe somebody buys you some gas or oil or something like that. You don't know, but we trust God by learning how to be givers. Now, we have a lesson from God. That lesson from God is John 3:16. And it's all about giving. That's what Christianity is all about, is giving ourselves to God and allowing Him to use us. That's what Jesus did. God gave His only begotten Son. Why? Because He loved the world. So His love motivated Him to give Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. That very love is what motivates us to give as well when we're walking with the Lord and trusting Him. It's a love of God more than anything else. It's God's love that motivated Him to give us Jesus. And you know, it's amazing to me that here we have this in the Word of God. It's clearly taught. It's clearly shared. And yet many people will never accept this gift. They're going to be like that person who's prideful. I don't need the gift. I don't really want the gift. I'm good. Leave me alone. I like what I learned up here. Now, I didn't hear this before I came up here, but the phrase, "I'm all set." Okay? Never heard that before I came up here. I knocked on doors and people would go to the door and say, "I'm all set." You tell me, "I'm from church. I'm all set." And I didn't know what that meant for a while until I really figured it out finally. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. I'm okay. Is what that means, I guess. But that's not true. Because many people, there's a free gift to be offered, and that's Jesus Christ. And that gift, all you have to do is accept it. There's never been a Christmas that I can remember, or a time, a birthday time, especially when my mom gave me something that I said, "Mom, I don't want that. I think everything she ever gave me, I took." And it's amazing to me that people will take the most important gift they're offered and not take it, not accept it. But God is the example. He is the lesson giver in this giving business. He's the one who gave. He gave Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and died for our sins. In John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 10, it says, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The reason we love God is because He loved us first. So here, Jesus has come for this very reason. He's come to give us new life, to change our lives, to challenge our lives. And those who have put their faith and trust in Him, we, just like God, just as the example that God gave His only Son, Jesus went to the cross willingly, we too ought to bear that burden. Last week we talked about bearing the cross. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for a second. And look at this love that God is talking about and the love that He has given to us. And that should enable us to be givers as well. And this giving is talking about the ministry. The ministry is giving everything. It's talking about our talents, our treasures, our time as well. In verse 14 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, find your place there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Let's see if I can figure out another way to say that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Go ahead and open your Bibles and look there. Put your finger on the verse and we'll begin reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Talking about giving ourselves to the Lord. "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." Speaking of after the flesh. And verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." That is what God has given to us. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, the love of God that constraineth us or holdeth us together or maybe unites us in the things of God, if you will, is that reconciliation. That is the gift. That we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know once we've been born again, put our faith in Jesus, we've been redeemed, that we'll spend eternity with him. And that begins the day of salvation. But we're not with him in the physical sense yet. Because look at verse 18. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." That's what we have now. We have been given an opportunity to take upon ourselves the ministry of reconciliation. The Bible says that we are peacemakers. How are we making peace? By bringing people to Christ and showing them their need and helping them and leading them that they too might know Christ as their Savior. That's what this gift is all about. When you receive the gift of Jesus Christ into your life, God changes our life and he makes us and gives us the gift of the ministry of reconciliation. Look at that next verse, 19 says, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation." You have the word today. It's the Bible, God's holy word, and that will change a person's life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Verse 20 says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So he has changed our lives. He has given us the opportunity, this ministry of reconciliation. And that is what God's gift has done for each one of us. We're all in the ministry that know Christ as our Savior. And the most important part of that ministry is reconciliation. We give ourselves, our time, our talents, our treasures. All of it is a package deal. And God has done that for each one of us. Go back to your passage in Luke. In Luke chapter 6, I want us to move back a little bit. As Christ is teaching there, he's sharing the Beatitudes. I want you to look at verse 30. We need to ask ourselves, okay, well, who are we to give to? You know, sometimes we ask, who are we to give our finances, our time, and our talents to? Or what are we supposed to be doing? Of course, all of it is to the Lord, but it's through the Lord he's given us some specific things we're to do as well. Look at verse 30 in that passage. It says, "Give to every man that asketh of thee." This speaks of the poor, if you will, those who are needy, those who don't have everything. Give to those folks that ask of thee. David wrote in Psalm 41:1, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27-28 says, "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. When it is in thy power, in the power of thy hand to do it, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee." If you have it, you're to give it, is what it's teaching us. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Paul, speaking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive." Why is that? Because when we give, we are in the ministry of reconciliation. We're trying to draw people to Christ. Why do we give to the poor? To help them to see Christ. Why do we give to those that ask? To help them see Christ. We don't just give the money aspects of it, though. We give them the word of reconciliation, the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But also, who else are we to give to? Look in our passage here in verse 30 again. It says, Give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Someone who takes something away from us. He gives an illustration of that in verse 29. He says, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. In other words, we're not to fight. And it's talking in reference to suffering for Christ's sake. It's not talking about self-defense. It's talking about, in the sense of property, things that don't mean a whole lot, for the cause of Christ. How do I know that? Because this passage is dealing with that very thing. Just look up, if you will, to verse 22. It says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. He says in verse 23, rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. So again, it's talking about a specific situation here. If someone takes something. In Matthew, it talks about if they come and take you to court and take it, then give them the other, whether it's the coat or the cloak, okay? And so we're not to prevent them. John Phillips states it this way. He says, quite the contrary to the spirit of Christ is the spirit of the age. Talking about where we live today, what we live and how people think. He says, which espouses marches, demonstrations, and civil disobedience, settles disputes with strikes and confrontation, and fosters disaffection for and defiance of authority. We are not to be those people who are marching. We're not those people who are standing on the picket lines. Why? Because we're to suffer for Christ's sake. That's why. We're to be Christians and Christ-like. Jesus, he wouldn't be holding a picket sign. You say, what about abortion? Jesus wouldn't be at the clinic saying, stop abortion. He might be there saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's a different message. It's the only message that's going to change a person's life. The other message is going to cause strife, and it's not going to look good for Christ. So we're to give for those who take in the name of Christ. You're doing something for the Lord, and they take something from you. Also, the church. We know that the Bible teaches us about the tithe. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Today I submit to you that if you are responsible, you're tithing, we may not know this, but you are probably receiving a blessing that you don't even realize. Why could that be? How could that be? Because if you're like me, sometimes we don't use the things that we have wisely. We go grab things that we want instead of what we need. God promises to meet our every need. He doesn't promise to meet our wishes and hopes and things like that. And so based on that, we may not even understand that the blessing God has given to us. We need to be careful and do that assessment and look at that. But also those that do the work of the ministry. Offerings. We take up offerings. Today we mentioned the O'Brien family. We want to take up an offering for them. They're working in the ministry. We want to help them, encourage them. Turn to 2 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here Paul is writing to the church here in Corinth, and he's trying to encourage the Corinthians because they're struggling with a lot of things, and we're studying this book now. But in this particular place, they're having a hard time with their offering. They made a promise, and they're not keeping that promise. So Paul, he's writing to them, and he's dealing with them and trying to encourage them in this. And he begins out in chapter 8, verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you wit to the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So he's talking about these churches in Macedonia, Philippi and Thessalonians and other churches in Macedonia. He's talking about how they were willing to give an offering. In verse 2 it says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record. In other words, to their capabilities, their limitations, how much they had, okay? They counted the cost and they said, hey, I got this much money I can give, or I can help this much. We're talking about giving here. And then he says right after that, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. It was beyond their power. Why? Because as Christians, we want to give in the power of the Spirit of God. As God leads us and directs us, there is a power in the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life that will enable us to do more than we could ever think we can do. There is that power. When we're walking with God, trusting God, living for God, He gives us that ability to be able to do more than we think possibly. When we do the math, it just doesn't add up. But when God does the math, that's in the power of God, by the Spirit of God. So they gave beyond their means. It was by the power of Christ they were willing. But look on what it says. And verse 4 says, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So the purpose of this was to help the saints, minister to other people. This offering was to go to Jerusalem and help those folks in Jerusalem. Okay, that was the purpose of it. It was a love offering, if you will, like we do so often in our church. And it was something that goes beyond the tithe. In verse 5, he says, and this they did, not as we hoped. So Paul's thinking, boy, if you could just give something, that'd be great. But then he said, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to unto us by the will of God. It was the fact that they were willing to lose their life, basically, die to self. That may have meant that maybe they didn't get to drink their Coca-Cola they love so much. Maybe they didn't get to buy the best tennis shoes. Maybe they didn't get to buy the best or biggest house. Whatever it was, God laid on their hearts, they gave of themselves. All that I have is thine, O Lord. Now that's a big step, is it not? That's a big leap. But that's where we're all heading. Every one of us are on that path where we can come to the point where it's all for the Lord. It's all His. I mean, to the point where I'm willing to move into a tent, if that's what God wants me to do. That's between you and Him. But that's what God is leading us to do, is to learn how to live not in the big houses that cost lots of money and takes up a lot of our resources, because they're His resources. I'm not saying if you have a nice house, you shouldn't have it. That's between you and the Lord. I'm just telling you what these people did. They gave of themselves and they gave everything they had, basically. And that's what happens when you give of yourself. Now, turn over to the next page. Look at chapter 9. So Paul is writing to them. He's talking. Now, here's the example, those that are in Macedonia. But he's already talked, or he's getting ready to tell them, says, now, you guys, you're the ones I used as the example, because they had such a great zeal for wanting to give. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. It says, for as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous to me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. He used them as the example. Hey, these folks here in at the church at Corinth, Corinth are going to give this amount of money. They're going to take up a love offering. They're going to give, and you ought to do what they're doing, type thing. But the problem was they didn't do it. Their intention was good, but they didn't follow through. He says, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you, make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye have noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as as covetousness. He's not trying to rob the people. He wants them to do it willingly. He sent Titus to do this. Before Paul was going to come back, he wanted them to be ready to give this offering. And so here we see that how they're to give. And that's what he's talking about. How are we to give this offering? And we see that in verse 6 through 15. We're just going to share a couple of these. But look at verse 6. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That is a promise from God. What is he saying? He's saying, you can't outgive God. You can, as long as you keep giving, God's going to keep giving. You know, sometimes we take and we tie God's hands. because we're not willing to give, we're not willing to sacrifice to give, we may not get the blessing that God has for us waiting for us. The windows of heaven may not be completely open to us because we're not really willing to give as God's laid on our heart. Again, this is all about having a willing mind, a willing heart, being willing, being submitted to God. And that's what we see here in this passage. Look at verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, it says. You know, there's been times in my life when I gave money thinking, boy, I could use this for the hamburger run tonight. You've heard all this stuff. See, that's what happens when you're here 15 years. You hear all the same stories over 100 times. I'll have to come up with some new ones. But, I mean, God just, he speaks to your heart. He says, hey, you ought to give this. And you say, but I need this for later. And I learned real quick that it doesn't work that way. If God lays it on your heart, then give it. Now, we're going to look at some more of this in just a minute if I have time. There's more to this than just that, but that's what God wants us to do. He's ready to give. And you have to have a willing mind first. And once you have that willing mind, then, of course, that really speaks of having a willing heart. As you purpose in your heart, as God leads you, then you're to give. These folks had that willing heart, and it was God's grace that was going to help them to do this, and he was trying to help them. He said, not grudgingly or out of sadness. That is, I wish I had that money back to spend it somewhere else. Everybody got their little sheet this year, and it told you how much you gave this year, right? On the bottom, it says, this is what you gave to your tithes, love offerings, and all that. How easy it is to look at that sheet and go, wow, I could have got something good. Now, I hope that's not the case, but there have been times in my life that I thought that for a second. Well, I could have got this or that, but yet I did this. And again, that is of necessity or of grudgingly, if you will, grudgingly. And so you need to be careful with that. And I'm learning that that's not what you want to do. You want to give it a willing heart. And I've learned that when it goes, and even before it even gets here, it's already gone in my heart. As soon as I get it, it's here. It's going to be here. If I'm going on vacation, it's going to be here. I've tried that before too. That's not a good idea to take your tithe on vacation because you might spend it and you might have to make it up if you're serious with God. But of necessity, or sometimes we think we have to. Well, so-and-so has given so much, so I have to give so-and-so so much. Well, really, none of us should know how much either one of us are giving. That's a personal thing between you and God. And so we've all experienced the pressure. We've all experienced those things, but we don't want to give it of necessity. We want to give it because the Lord lays it on our heart. He talks about this cheerful giver. That's a merry, prompt, or willingly. And of course, our love of God will be demonstrated on how willing we're to give. And of course, the result of that is fruit to our account. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is going to provide and meet the needs if we're willing to listen to him and follow him. And this is the big thing. Give, and it shall be given unto you. God has made that promise. Now, I know I'm speaking to the choir here. But this is a lesson we need to be reminded of. I need to be reminded of. Because our reaping is always indicative of our giving. You say, what are you saying? Well, that's what verse 6 told us. He said, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So as we trust the Lord and we are guided by him, he's going to provide those needs and meet those needs, and he will meet those according to his will. So let me give you some considerations, though, some things that we don't ever talk about when we talk about giving. And these are important things, too, because we don't want to make mistakes. I've made them, and I'm sure maybe some of you have made them. We're to give as the Lord leads us. But there's some things we need to take account of first. One of those is our giving needs to be willingly. It needs to be of our choosing, okay? It's not a forced thing. We're talking about the love offering here. It's not a forced thing at all. We have examples of that with Ananias and Sapphira. They came and they told John and Peter that they had given all that they had. They sold it all and gave them all the money. They could have done that, but they didn't. They held back some. And through that, they experienced death just like that because of their disobedience and lying to God. And so it's important for us to understand that it's of our own volition, how God deals with our heart, that we should give. We don't give it just because someone thinks we ought to give it. We give it because the Lord is leading us to give it. We need to be cautious to who we give to. You say, what are you saying? Well, if we're not careful, we can become an enabler to somebody or someone that is addicted to a substance, or they're doing things they shouldn't do. You want to be careful. If someone calls me up and says, yeah, I need some gas or something, can you give me some money or whatever, I'm not going to give anybody money. If they say they need food, I'll go buy some food, okay? If I, after the assessment, I feel like that's something they need, or gas or whatever, I'll go buy the gas. I will not give them the money. Why? Because I've learned that you can enable somebody to go buy the drugs. In fact, I saw a video one time of this girl who was a drug addict, and hadn't eaten in a long time. A fellow went in, bought her a hamburger. She turned around and sold the hamburger to get money so she could buy drugs. And as Christians, we need to be wise that we don't enable others to do that which is wrong. And so there's another reason we need to be careful. And 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, this commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And so if a person's lazy and won't work, maybe you need to think about giving him money because you become an enabler. That's what our government does today with all these programs. Food stamps and the free housing, there are people who need this stuff. But there are a lot more people who don't. And they become enabled when the government gives them to them. And what that does is that gives them the idea, well, why should I work? I got it made here. And that's the problem. We as Christians need to be careful. We don't do that as well. We also, and this is important, we must consider our families. In 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So what am I saying? I'm saying before you go give, you pray about it, you look to the Lord. But if you have needs at home that you know that you're not providing or meeting needs, you don't go give to somebody else yet. You take care of your family. Otherwise, you will be an infidel. Now, you can look at that and you can study that out and find out what that means. But as God lays, and I don't believe God's going to lay on your heart to do something that He's not going to take care of you. But you must seek the Lord. A basic teaching in all of this that we're looking at today is really the habit of giving. That's what it's all about. We should open our hearts to those that are in need. We need to be ready to share. 1 Timothy 6:18 says, they that do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. We need to be ready to do good every opportunity we get. If there's somebody who's in need, if it's somebody that you think the church can help, you need to come see one of the deacons or myself and say, hey, there's somebody that's in need. And we need to investigate that. And we need to make sure that it's not something that we're going to, like I said, enable somebody to do something they shouldn't do, but it's something we want to meet a need. And that need goes with something else. Financial need always goes with the spiritual. With the spiritual. Before we give, we ought to make sure these folks know that Jesus loves them and make sure we have that opportunity. So how do we do all this? We do it by first off giving ourselves. Maybe this morning there's somebody here who's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's never been a time when you understood you were lost and that you, if you were to die, you'd spend eternity in hell. Maybe you've never understood that. Because you have to get lost before you can ever get saved. And when you understand that and understand that Jesus died for you, then and only then can you call upon Him. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible teaches us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Once you put your faith and trust in Jesus, that's when God enables us or gives us that gift of the ministry that He wants us to do. And the ministry is reconciling people to Jesus Christ. The money that we give is for the purpose of reconciling people to Jesus Christ. Why are we going to support the O'Briens, for instance? Or why do we support any of our missionaries? It's because they're working, giving the gospel to people in a place that we are responsible for. That's why we do it. And that's why we give those gifts. So whatever the gift we give, we want to make sure it goes along with the gospel of Christ. God gives us life. He meets our needs. He gives us the abilities. He gives us the time that we have. And that's for the purpose to give back to Him. A gift given in the power of God will yield a blessing, and it will yield fruit to your account. If we're willing to give, again, I'm speaking to the choir here, but as I look at this message, it speaks to me that I need to be ready to give an answer of the reason of the hope that's in me. And it comes along with all three of these, time, talents, and treasures, that we might see, they may see Jesus in us, and that they too might put their faith and trust in Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the word of God. And as we're reminded that as we learn to give, and you told us that you would give back to us, you also told us you'd use people to do that. In this room today are people. In this room today, I suggest that most people in this room have put their faith and trust in Christ and know Jesus as their Savior. Father, help us to be mindful of those that are around us. Again, it's easy to get caught up in the rut of living our lives and just going about our daily activities without thinking about those in need of salvation, those who are in need of financial help. Or maybe it's something that we have, a talent that we can do something that maybe they can't, that we can help with. Father, help us all be mindful of those that are around us, that we too might be able to be in the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you for what you do in each one of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name.